Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good Monday morning, and welcome in Grant and Danny on the air on 106.7 The Fan. Hopefully you had a great weekend. We got a big show planned today. Joe Theismann, legendary Redskins quarterback who's on the call of all of their preseason games this August, will join us to discuss a quarterback depth chart in flux. Colt McCoy is still hurt, could be headed to injured reserve. Dwayne Haskins could already be climbing the depth chart inadvertently, according to Washington's plan. He was going to be the number three guy. That may not be the case. We'll talk to Theismann in 57 minutes. And the Nationals have placed Sean Doolittle on the injured list. They had one of the wildest weekends of their season. Jamal Collier is on the show today at 1 as they head up to Pittsburgh, as Pete was just telling you, to get a series started with the bad Pirates. This is a series you got to take a couple of games and ideally have a chance to sweep.
You got to keep it going. I mean, again, this is the position you're in. All it takes is a bad week to sort of change the narrative of what's going on. And that's not crazy to have happen, right? Joe Ross doesn't throw well, or Eric Fetty doesn't throw well. He was okay yesterday. Or the offense doesn't score two touchdowns and 2 2-point conversions in a regulation game. Things can happen, man. They are in a precarious spot here. You should feel good about what the Nationals did and what they overcame, the multiple deficits they overcame, even in the game that they lost after Sean Doolittle blew the ninth inning lead. They showed grit, resiliency, toughness, all the things that you'd want. They bounce back the next day, put up 13 runs before the third inning ends. Amazing to watch what this team is doing. Big picture, though, having that closer situation no longer be solved is problematic as you head down the stretch.
And the closer situation hasn't been solved probably for the better part of a month. We've just now acknowledged it.
Yeah.
In other words, we've been sick for a while. We just finally went to the doctor and now have our diagnosis. Friday, they won 2-1 in what was a playoff-style game against Milwaukee. Corbin was great, six innings and an Ernie. The bullpen shut down the Brewers, three shutout, including a good inning from Sean Doolittle, and Anthony Rendon delivered a pair of RBI doubles.
All the RBIs.
You fast forward to Saturday, I was there for 14 innings in almost 6 hours. What a game.
Craziest game, man.
It was an absolute blast, one of the best games I've ever attended in any sport, just because of how wild it was. They were down 5-0. They tied it at 5. They were down 8-5. They took a 9-8 lead. They were down 12-11 in the ninth. They came back and tied it at 12-12. They were down 13-12 in the 13th. They forced a 14. It was absolutely incredible. They go on to lose the game, obviously, when Javi Guerra ran out of gas as the last pitcher they had. And it was either him or Brian Dozier.
You could just tell.
53 miles an hour.
All of a sudden, like the there wasn't much snap on the breaking ball.
No.
Fastball sitting 91. Just if he threw anything near the plate, Eric Thames is going to deposit it into Maryland.
So yesterday was the rubber match. You have to win this series. And after using all your relievers and after using 10 innings of bullpen and after going into that game with a complete nightmare of a situation where you got no sleep, short turnaround, they came out mashing, scoring 4 runs in the first to pull away. They were up 13-0 after 3. They hit a team record 8 home runs. Juan Soto hit his 27th and 28th. Anthony Rendon belted his 27th. Brian Dozier clubbed his 18th and 19th. Matt Adams smacked his 19th. Victor Robles deposited his 16th. And Adam Eaton crushed number 10. Last night, they were on their plane ride to Pittsburgh, high-fiving, and everybody was twerking and celebrating and dancing. They hit a team record 8 home runs.
Now the pitch. Swing and a belt to deep right center field. Going, going, and gone. Goodbye. Bang. Zoom goes Big City. Now the pitch. Swing and a high fly ball to left center field. Grisham back, looking up, going, going, and long gone. Into the third row of tables of the brew house. Bang. Zoom goes.
Swing a high drive to deep left center field for Dozier. Back on this one, Gamble to the warning track, to the wall, and there it goes. Brian Dozier lands one in the Brewers' bullpen, and the Nationals have 3 more on the board. Home run number 18 for Dozier. Swing a high drive to left field deep, sending Gamble back on the run. Warning track to the wall,
and he has done it again. Anthony Rendon with a three-run homer.
The 0-1 to Soto. Here's a swing and a drive to left field, deep toward the corner. Goes Gamble to the warning track. He's at the wall, and it's gone. And swings and belts one to deep center. This is way back to the warning track, to the wall, and it's gone. Goodbye. Bang, zoom, goes Atten, Eaton. Pitch to Soto, blasted a deep right. Way back, going, going, and gone. Goodbye. Bang, zoom, goes Soto. Takes over the club lead in home runs with his second home run of the day and 28th of the year. Now Dozier belts one to deep left center field. Way back to the warning track, heading toward the Brewhouse red seats. It is gone. Goodbye.
That is what a 5-1 homestand sounds like. Winners of 9 of their last 12, holding the wild card spot 5.5 back of Atlanta. Last 4 games for the Nats, 49 runs.
Man, oh man.
57 hits. 4 games and 49 runs. First time they've ever scored 14 runs in back-to-back. They've done it in 3 out of their last 4. I mean, this was one of the most prolific stretches of the team's entire existence. And I'll say this too, Danny. There's a conversation that needs to be had about the baseball all over the sport. But at Nats Park this weekend, I have never seen the ball fly like that.
I've never seen it happen. Anthony Rendon threw his bat in disgust and had to apologize as he's walking around the bases to all the different players about what happened.
Well, it looked like the bat flipped to win the World Series. He actually was literally throwing his bat because he thought he popped out to left. And then it carried over the fence into the bullpen.
And he's going, I didn't mean to. I'm sorry, because the guy got crossed. Juan Soto flied out to left, and the ball went into the stands.
It's awesome.
I mean, that was if you looked at the side angle and of the swing and where the ball launched up in there, you'd go, maybe the shortstop went out into short left field to catch it. You know what I mean? Like, he had to make a nice play over the shoulder running catch to go get it. Maybe the left fielder sprinted in because he was playing there. And that ball carried out too. Absurd.
I made a joke yesterday on Twitter, and I was actually somewhat serious. Like, I was wondering at one point, are we going to find out after the game that they accidentally still had a box of balls somewhere in the equipment room that was meant for the home run derby? And they just went and they grabbed the wrong box, because the long-term thought in baseball is, like, for the home run derby, they have these juiced, extra tight
cork your bat and use those balls. Sure.
Except they put on a show, right? And I'm thinking maybe they just had one of those boxes laying around, and that's what they polished up for the game yesterday.
Who's the Patriots equipment guy? Was he in Nats Park yesterday?
It was unbelievable. A lot of people just weren't talking about the fact that, like, these are flyouts. These aren't homers.
Now, Adams, that was the truth. That was legit.
Oh,
the Juan Soto pulling the ball down the right field line, that was legit. That gets out all the time. Yeah, they're all authentic.
Victor Robles, 429 feet to left center, homer in any park. Now it's probably 385 with a real baseball, maybe, or you know, 405 or something.
But man, oh man.
It was fun to watch.
That was cool.
Everybody in the lineup is rolling right now as they've won a 6 of 7 and scored 14 in back-to-back games in 3 of their last 4. Coming off the 8 home runs. Trey Turner's been on base in 25 straight games, hitting .330 in that time, hits in 10 of his last 11. Matt Adams and Victor Robles went back-to-back. So did Rendon and Soto. 9th and 10th time the Nats have done that this year. Robles has a 7-game hitting streak, hitting .480 over that span. Eaton in his last 10 games is hitting .425. Rendon in his last 9 is hitting .370. Soto homers in consecutive games for the 7th time this season, which is crazy. 5th career 2-homer game, and then Dozier drove in for a season high. They're feeling good about themselves. We're going to get into the Sean Doolittle story, though, next, because that is, even though it's way more negative and way more a turbulent issue, a much bigger deal than just the one game with all the power.
Agreed.
That was a great story yesterday. We'll get to that in a minute. Real quick on Colt McCoy, and this is something that will get our attention for a much bigger portion of the show in the 11 o'clock hour when Joe Theismann joins us and you and I get into the quarterback depth chart. It sounds bad. He was trying to play through, clearly not being 100%. He told us he thought he was healthy. He was not. He can't even plant right now on his back right foot to drive the ball down the field. He cannot throw off of that foot and push off, which is, especially when you're light on arm strength, an absolute necessity.
Yeah, I mean, it's a necessity for anybody. The necessity for a guy with the strongest arm in the world or the weakest. It's sad, honestly. That's the thought I have is very similar to what happened to Alex Smith, right? It's very different circumstances. Obviously, two broken legs, but I just can't help escape how sad it is, right? That Smith did nothing wrong. He got hit. and his life may be forever changed with this thing. You hope for a recovery so you can play with his kids adequately. I mean, that's kind of where we're at. Maybe football happens again, and that's cool too. With Colt McCoy, he was trying to come back for some sort of playoff thing that was never going to happen.
They were never
going
to make the playoffs.
It was just never going to happen. And it required multiple follow-up procedures. Every time they think he's okay, he's not. I can't. If this was just in a vacuum, and you go, man, tough luck for Colt McCoy, but it's not. It's in this Redskins medical prism of they can't get right. Their training staff doesn't know what they're doing. The medical practice stinks. Something about this is rotten. You can't escape those two things being intrinsically linked.
Broken leg, three procedures, still not available August 19th. Period.
Yeah.
This was an injury that was supposed to have healed shortly into the offseason. He's still dealing with it. He didn't take part in any of the offseason. A lot of it started because they did try to rush him back because they thought, well, maybe if we just go 4-0, if only Josh Johnson and Mark Sanchez can lead us to wins.
You know, Mark Sanchez, he'll get it done.
What are you doing?
What are we doing here, Harry?
That was a terrible plan. From the moment whoever came up with that plan initiated it, it should have been crumbled up and thrown in the trash. And they said, nope, new plan. Any plan that starts with Colt McCoy playing in the playoff game that's not going to happen, bad plan. Next, who's got another one? The execution was bad. The plan was bad. It was all bad. We'll talk to Theismann about it at 11. But next, little blame game. Sean Doolittle's on the injured list. Sean Doolittle had a gut-wrenchingly brutal performance at home on Saturday night. Gave up three homers to four batters, four extra base hits in a row to start his inning and blew not only a lead, but gave up a game to the Milwaukee Brewers. How much of this is on Davey? How much of this is on roster construction from the front office? Next on Grant and Danny.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Thank you, as always, for listening to the show. We appreciate it. Sean Doolittle's run of health this season has ended. He is on the injured list with a knee issue, actually. Nothing to do with his arm, surprisingly enough, after he gave up three home runs in a four-batter stretch on Saturday night. The Nats had taken an 11-8 lead, and it looked like they were cruising to a big win. Now, I got to say, right before he came into the game, I went over to someone in the press box. I said, why are they going to Doolittle here? He goes, what do you mean? He's the closer. And I thought, well, yeah, but it's the second straight night. He pitched yesterday, got one swing and miss on a slider, nothing on his fastball. I wasn't overly impressed necessarily with the life on the fastball the night before.
They walked a leadoff guy last night.
It's a three-run lead.
Yeah.
Daniel Hudson's available. Now, you're overusing him as well, and you're riding him into the ground and riding him like a rented mule, but he is rented. And he might not be here next year. And this sounds like it's a bad thing to say, but you should ride him into the ground, not under contract for next season. That's kind of the way that this works. So Doolittle comes on, and he had not given up a home run to a left-handed hitter since 2016. He gave up two in a three-batter sequence. Christian Yelich is going to hit the ball out on a lot of guys.
He's really good.
He's got 40 bolts this year. Mike Moustakas is closing in on 30. Tremendous player, former top five pick out of Chatsworth High in California.
Got his 30 yesterday.
Mike Moustakas hits a ball out as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not the worst thing that's ever happened. But those four straight batters, four extra base hits, the loud contact.
You could see.
Davey comes out and gets him. And you knew right then something has to give. He's got to go to the injured list. There's really no ifs, ands, or buts about it. How we got here is pretty clear, Danny. We know. Overuse. He was on his way to more pitches, more innings, more appearances than he's ever had before. He normally stays at least 10 to 15 days on the injured list once a year. We haven't gotten that, so he didn't have his rest. That'll happen now. But there is a question as to who do you blame?
And I think it's a fair question. So there's a minority opinion, I think, that was floating around. I met Funny Danny Grant at Greenwich Paulson, where people were, he's only got the seventh most innings among closers. Get out of here with overuse. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. It is overuse. Not every arm is created equal. That's number one. Number two, he was on pace to shatter his record for most amount of pitches thrown. And that happened years and years and years ago when he was in his mid to late 20s, as I recall. The pace that he was on, his pitches per inning, way higher than it's ever been. That spoke to effectiveness as well. The number of times he was warmed up and didn't come in, which basically counts as an appearance in terms of adding wear and tear. This was unacceptable how he was used. Now, part of this is their bullpen was such a disaster early on in the season. And to me, it was the primary reason they started 19-31 was that. I'm not saying they would have been 31-19 if the bullpen was good, but it would have been closer to league average if they weren't historically the worst bullpen ever assembled through about half this season. A lot of that is here because David Martinez trusts nobody else. You got to go six different times to Sean Doolittle to bridge the eighth and the ninth. How do you get to Doolittle? Well, Doolittle's his own setup guy now. That's what we're doing. Some of that was unavoidable, and you got to try to salvage the season to play meaningful games, which you did right now. You knew you were going to the whip too hard too early, but in order to have an August and September that mattered, you had to win some of these games, and you had to go to Doolittle. I understand that. What I will never forgive are the four-run games that Sean Doolittle came in, are the games where you're up 12-0 against the Mets and Doolittle has to pitch. Those are the ones where you kind of go, damn it, Davey. This is what led us here. It's not one appearance. It's not two. It's maybe not six or seven or eight. It's the total picture of getting him up and then not using him 14 times in 17 days. He told us once early on in the season. We had him on every Tuesday, and we'll continue to do so. The total picture here, part of it is construction. Part of it is having Trevor Rosenthal be a bust, Kyle Bearclaw be a bust, guys you thought could be the fill-in closers. The other part to me is usage and Davey Martinez.
Sean Doolittle was on the show this past week. We had some tough questions, Q&As with him, back and forth, exchanges. And this was before he went to the injured list, before Saturday night's collapse. This was his answer to when we asked him about his usage and if he's run down.
No, I think it's a little bit physical. I kind of talked about this last night after the game about how I haven't really amassed this kind of bulk in several years. And, you know, there's nights like last night, there's stretches, you know, over the course of a long season where, you know, you feel a little bit out of whack, maybe a little bit sluggish because it catches up with you every once in a while. But, you know, I'm in really good hands with our trainers, with our medical staff. You know, we're constantly looking at ways to make things more efficient and, you know, try to stay fresh. And, you know, the good players, the good teams, you know, they find a way to you know, grind out games when you're not feeling 100% and get to a point where you can play your best baseball down the stretch here.
That was Doolittle from Grant and Danny right here on 106.7. The Fan, he will be with us tomorrow at 11:45 for what should be a must-listen interview. We will have him exclusively. Make sure you're tuned in at that time. I want to go back and echo something you said to start your answer on this a moment ago, and that is there is still, for whatever reason, a faction of Nationals fans who are unwilling to acknowledge that he has been overused and overworked because they'll compare his appearances to other guys. I shouldn't gain a pound every time I have a little bit of ice cream. I do. There's probably someone somewhere that can have a little bit of ice cream and lose a half pound that day. We're all created a little bit differently. I'm meant to be fat. I was put on this planet to be pretty fat. I got to work really hard to not be fat. Sean Doolittle goes on the injured list every year, just about, with some type of issue. He has had arm issues in the past. These are things that you knew coming in. Just look at, don't compare him to Felipe Vasquez or to whatever durable reliever you want to. Compare him to himself. He was on pace for 21% spike in pitches thrown. Was at 930 this season, 1020 in 2013, his only non-DL year, was his career high. Mm-hmm. At this point, he was on pace to shatter that. He was asked to go beyond one inning, you referenced this, bridging the eighth into the ninth six times. It's never happened before. That matters. He threw 20-plus pitches 18 times this season. He'd never done that more than six times before this year. Now, That's partially on him being ineffective, because maybe in the past he came in, he was more dominant, he was better, he got out of an inning in 13, 14 pitches. Now it takes him 22, 23. So that's not necessarily a Davey problem, but that is extra use. Everyone wants to look at innings. I'd say appearances matter more. Pitches, as we know from starting pitchers, matter a little bit more. He threw in back-to-back games 11 times, career high. Threw in both ends of a doubleheader. In 8 games in August, Doolittle in 7 innings gave up 14 hits, 10 runs, and 5 homers. He'd given up the same number of homers in 46 appearances before the 8 he had this month. And as I mentioned, he hadn't given up a homer to a lefty since 2016. He did it twice in a 3-batter sequence on Saturday night. Pre-All-Star break, 265 average against. Post-All-Star break, 313. ERA of 7.3 since the break. You couldn't keep doing it.
Since the trade deadline, Grant, sorry to cut you off, you brought in reinforcements for this specific purpose. This is why I say Davey needs a lot of blame here. Despite the addition of Elias, despite the addition of Strickland, now Elias, we know what happened, but despite the addition of Daniel Hudson, you've still had Doolittle pitch in 8 of 14 games. While we're seeing this trend, we're seeing him not be himself. We're seeing all this go
down.
And
that's my Davey issue, and we need to get into this in more detail in a second. Part of this is on Davey. Tom Boswell wrote a column in the Post that's out today. He killed Davey for
this. Pretty scary.
I agreed with a lot of what he said. There's a couple things that are actually in Davey's corner of this debate that he didn't mention at all, which when you're writing an opinionated column is kind of going to happen. You're presenting one side of it. But that are roster construction issues we can get into. My big Davey problem on Doolittle is how he has used his closer since he got Strickland, who's been very good. Hudson, who's been very good. He's managed no differently, basically. He's acting like he's still got Kyle Bearclaw and Matt Grace pitching in the 8th inning. That is not the case anymore. 800-636-1067 is the phone number. 800-636-1067 on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines. How did we get here? How much of Doolittle's injury list stay is Davey's fault, and how much of this was he and Doolittle maybe set up to fail by the fact that there weren't any options early in the year and they had to win those games and they were going to be in big trouble?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
G&D with you, 106.7 The Fan. The Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines are open at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Sean Doolittle blew a save against Milwaukee on Saturday, or else the Nats would have swept the Brewers and they would have won all 6 of the games on their homestand. He's now on the injured list. How did we get here is the question, and that's what we want you to chime in on at 800-636-1067. You can also tweet us at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny. I do think Davey Martinez is very much a factor and needs to be discussed here, because I do believe that when Mike Rizzo went out and he got him, and it's only been now 19 days, but going back almost 3 weeks ago, he said, here's Hunter Strickland. He's closed before. Here's Daniel Hudson. He's got maybe better stuff than anybody in your bullpen. He can close for you. Roenis Elias got hurt in his first appearance, so he doesn't really count, but he'd been the closer of the Mariners. I thought they'd reshuffle things. Not to mention, Wander Suero has been lights out lately. Fernando Rodney, since he got here, has been way better than I would have anticipated. While I can't really trust him further than I can throw him, he's a guy that saved a million games in his career. Martinez has options, and he is stuck with this rule that if it's a 3-run lead or less, I am a robot. I will pitch Sean Doolittle.
Well, even a 4-run lead.
You can't do it.
Grant, Sean Doolittle leads the league in games finished at 49, and that's admirable. That's great. Go back to a 6-0 win against Los Angeles Dodgers where he threw an inning and a third. 6-0. Sean Doolittle closes an inning and a third. No. Go back to a 5-1 win against the Mets in May where Sean Doolittle pitched in that 9th inning. It doesn't seem like that big a deal at the time, right? Because he pitches May 15th, then May 16th, and then again May 18th. So now you've thrown him 3 out of 4 calendar days. These sorts of things add up. Now, if this is Rubber Arm Jones, who's 22 years old or 25 years old and has a track record of this, maybe you manage him differently.
2018 Edwin Diaz in Seattle, who just pitched every single day. Now he's paying the price now. He's terrible with the New York Mets. But the Mariners just used and abused him, and he never faltered.
This is a guy that has been on the injured list, disabled list, whatever you want to call it, every year except for one, basically, because of these sorts of issues, Grant.
Boswell said in his column, I want to bounce this off of you. I don't know if you saw this. Did you read his piece?
I did.
He said something I hadn't thought about. He said, you know, pitching Doolittle like the Nats were is the equivalent of having Steven Strasburg on pace to throw like 260 innings when he's never thrown 215.
It's trying to, I don't know if it's the perfect comp, but I saw his point. It's like,
logically, I see what he's saying.
It's to try to get the people who just go, he's only thrown 50 innings. That's nothing. Was suck it up. It's to try to explain to the knuckle draggers out there, no. This is a thing. You pitch him for a full inning against the Chicago White Sox, up 9-5. You go back and you add up all these different things where you've decided you've got a Matt Williams, he's the closer, he closes the game. He's the closer, he closes the game. Sort of robotic attitude about it. Four runs or less, he is now entering game. You can't do that with him.
Well, and Davey says four runs in today's baseball because of the way the ball leaves the yard and the home runs is actually the new save. First of all, I need you to reprogram your mind because you're just not going to have a closer last the whole season if he's pitching every time with four runs. Let's start with that. So, yes, how often he used him, non-save situations, problem. How often he's used him since these guys showed up, three-run games, problem. But to just completely blame this on Davey, and I think this is where Boswell missed the mark a little bit with what was an otherwise great column. He didn't mention Bearclaw. He didn't mention Rosenthal.
I think that's very important.
You went and got two setup men that were supposed to be Plan B and Plan C closers, so it wasn't always Doolittle. Rosenthal was terrible. He would have allowed runs in the McLean Little League because he would have walked everyone and hit everyone, and they'd have just kept walking around and scoring runs.
Those poor kids would have been so scared.
Bearclaw was dreadful. I was wrong about that, raising my hand. I loved the addition. I still think it was a good trade because they gave up nothing. He stunk. And by the way, you were 19-31. Davey's about to get fired. The season's about to be over. The team's about to be done, dead in the water in May on my birthday on May 17th. You had no choice but to overuse and basically kill Doolittle, proverbially, to get where you needed to go. Without him, you're not here. If you didn't pitch him as much as they did early, the Nats right now are not leading in the wild card. They're still trying to catch up to playoff pace. My issue is as the year went along and Suero got it together, and Rainey came up and pitched okay, and at times was lights out, and then you added three other pieces, two that have been wonderful for you. You never recalibrated and said, we need to do this a little bit differently. Let's go to Jim in Silver Spring on G&D. What's going on, Jim?
Grand Danny, man. Thanks a lot. Boy, what a weekend. I'm just going to give you a couple of opinions and get something off the chest as well here. It's on the player, ultimately. It's on Sean. Davey trusts him, and that's good. You want a manager who respects his players to the utmost. And so I don't think we can blame Davey so much on this, but I understand the manager has influence, and he's got control, and he can make changes. But in the dynamic, in the total, a lot of things to say here. I just got to say, A closer who is your designated closer, the way the game has developed, the way the game is at, you know, now, I mean, you can't just hold him back or pull him back. I know Danny makes some good points. Why throw him in games you're leading 5-6 runs? Because he needs work. You got to keep arm strength up.
He doesn't need work when he's pitched two out of the last 3 days before some of those games. What I would tell you is this. There are people in the Nats organization that feel like Doolittle should have said, hey, stay off me today. Hey, don't pitch me today. You think he wants to do that when he knows if he doesn't pitch, you've got no chance? Remember how awful this bullpen was? You think he wants to watch Dan Jennings get blown up in the eighth inning? He had to throw. He knew that he was the only way for this team to win. I'm not going to fault him for that.
I just did an informal count, okay? This doesn't include throwing in both ends of a doubleheader. This doesn't include some of the other indignities, you would say, throwing three out of four games or multiple times back-to-back a career high, which Boswell points out. It doesn't include the number of pitches per appearance. It doesn't include that he was on pace for a career high to shatter his previous record after this track record of injury. 10 times this year he threw where the lead, either way, by the way, was four runs or more. 10 different times. 10 times this year the lead was the Nationals was four or more, or they were trailing.
How many
by more
of those times, though, and I don't know the answer, but I started to tabulate it, and the reason I stopped was I didn't know the answer to this. I found like twice where he was already up getting hot, and then they scored, say, in the top of the ninth.
Something like that. That's why I said this is an informal survey, study. So you could explain away three or four two or three.
If it's 2-0 and they hit a two-run homer when he's already warmed up, the damage is done.
Yes.
He's up. He's ready to come into the game. Now it's four.
Sure. This has nothing to – but my point is to counter what the caller was saying. This has nothing to do with Sean Doolittle saying, hey, Skip, I'm available today. This is a manager saying that needs to say, thank you for that information. I'm going to stay off you for what's best.
And what Boswell said in his column was, you know, being able to tell this guy no when he says he's ready because you're thinking long-term – Doolittle can't think long term. He's healthy. They're in a playoff push. This is, you know, 2 months ago. Well, I need to make sure I'm okay in September. He's not going to do that. He says this is let's come up with a word for this. It's almost called managing. It's called managing. That was a powerful statement. Maybe aggressive, but powerful from Boswell in his column. Mike and Sterling, what's up?
How's it going, Grant and Dave?
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Robert.
How much of the blame goes to Davey? How much to roster construction? I'm not going to try to figure out the percentages on the blame pie. That's kind of an arbitrary task. But I'm just going to give you one fella that I think should get some piece who probably won't. I was going to say two, but obviously you've just addressed Doolittle. I was my son and I were in the stands with you and Jack White, and it was definitely heartbreaking. We were nervous. I tweeted at 10:23 while he was warming up from the mound that I knew this would be trouble. But the guy,
Mike,
I think
you,
should
me, and
also
Jack White. That was the list as of the 14th inning at Nats Park.
We really were just hanging out, and it was the whole gang of Brewer fans that had sort of collected down behind the third baseline was very annoying. But the guy that I want to throw in there as well is Henry Blanco, the bullpen coach who also catches sometimes down in there. He's watching their warm-ups. He's often catching as well. Can't he see that the velo was down? Couldn't he see that the location was off?
So it's a great question. It's something I've wondered in the past. I don't know the answer. I would offer this, though. There are a million examples of guys who will say they didn't feel right in the bullpen, something was off, the velocity was down, whatever it was, they came into the game, and all of a sudden they were themselves.
They were nails.
So I don't know that Henry Blanco, if he's catching Sean Doolittle and they got a gun out there or someone's catching him, he's watching, and it's 91, you know, phones to Davey, hey, he doesn't have it tonight, because there's probably been way more examples of him going out there and all of a sudden throwing 94 and striking out 2 out of 3 and
getting
contact. A little
adrenaline matters, you know, yeah.
Exactly. You're in the game. The lights are on. The juices are flowing. Some good phone calls. We'll continue to take them later in the show today on Grant and Danny. Next, there's an Antonio Brown update. And you know what that means.
Tap, dance, and pulsing.
I am excited to talk about the Raiders and Antonio Brown. The circus has been brought to town because they wanted it. They wanted the 3 rings. They wanted Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey. And they got it. We'll talk about it next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Joe Theismann's on the show at 11. We'll talk Redskins quarterbacks with one of their greatest at the position ever. Colt McCoy's injured. Case Keenum looks like the starter. How far is Dwayne Haskins from pushing Case Keenum? Just some of the things we will cover with Theismann. Antonio Brown came back to work since we last spoke about him last week.
Uh-huh.
He showed up.
Uh-huh.
He had lost his hearing. For those of you that aren't keeping track of this ridiculous story that is utterly irresponsible and immature, Antonio Brown, who is guaranteed $30-plus million and is scheduled to make $50 million, I think it is, in the next 3 years, something like that, but with the Oakland Raiders, was brought to town after he was a completely uncoachable disaster in Pittsburgh. And the Raiders just decided they knew better and that the Steelers were the problem, not Antonio Brown, and that he was worth bringing in because he is, and admittedly, he was one of my longtime favorite players in the league before he became a nut job. He is the best wide receiver in football, very likely, right now. He's
one of the best players in the world.
Route runner and one of the hardest guys to cover. So they said, this is worth it. We'll take the bad apple, even though we're trying to establish a culture and show young guys how to work and grind and how you know, you can build a winner. We'll bring a guy in to pay him more than anybody else, not named Derek Carr, who doesn't do anything for his team and does everything for himself. And that'll somehow work, even though it's never worked anywhere before. But they made that decision. So Antonio Brown gets a crowd therapy and burns the bottoms of his feet and has blisters the size of tennis balls. Just disgusting bottom of his feet.
Just so gross.
Can't practice. Hasn't been there. And everyone thought, well, maybe that's why he's not here. Well, it turns out, no. He could be there getting treatment. He could be there watching practice, learning the offense, bonding with his new teammates. He has this issue where he wants to wear his old helmet that is no longer allowed by the NFL. There are 1,690-some players, I think, in the National Football League.
About 1,700 guys, yeah.
All of them have, even if they're not happy about it, somehow found a way to adapt to whatever new helmets they have to wear, including Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, who didn't like these new helmets at all. Antonio Brown's the one guy that won't do that. He is above the law. He has been told his whole life that you're the best wide receiver and done things differently, and it's worked out for him. So now he doesn't want to wear this helmet. So he had a hearing with the league last week. They shot him down and said, you got to wear this helmet. So he goes, okay, fine. He shows back up at camp. Yesterday, he was gone again. He decided that he's going to keep working on this helmet thing. I don't know what the newest development is with why he thinks he can get a new helmet approved.
So what
He left camp again.
The thing that frustrates me about this is everyone treating this helmet thing like it's legitimate. In other words, he may not like that helmet. Okay. That's fine. That's fair and reasonable, I suppose. We can gripe about the new helmet or the old one.
I don't like this studio, by the way.
Yeah.
It's hot. It's tiny. When you bring in fish, it smells terrible.
Yeah, somehow, out of the 1,700, give or take, 1,699 have figured out a way to overcome it, right? But he went to the ends of the earth to go through every relief process that he possibly could to see if there's any recourse. He's been told the answer is no. It's roundly no. It's resoundly no. That's it. The gavel has swung, and that's that. So he's now carrying this on to the end of the earth. And we're trying to legitimately debate that. I'm not saying we, but the folks out there, if you watch the talking head shows, the screaming A is like, well, indubitably his helmet pertains to his head, and that's a lugubrious Toyota Camry. He's just yelling, right, doing that. Let's stop legitimizing that debate.
How about Brian Baldinger on our show last week?
Yeah, I love Baldinger.
Baldinger was like, I get it. This is very personal to him. What?
The stance that I have here is if it wasn't the helmet, it would be another thing.
Of course it would.
It would be a sock. It would be the knee pad. It would be the arm. There would be some reason that he couldn't just get right.
He loves drama. He loves attention, and he needs it on him, not the Raiders right now. They're desperately trying to prepare themselves for the season. He's been an immense distraction. So they have taken his side every step of the way on this. They have defended him. They have put him over. They have said, oh, we want him to get his helmet. Oh, it's okay that he's not here. It's perfectly fine.
His freezing burn of his feet's a legitimate issue.
Now, he's
man.
A victim here, man. He kicked the face of the man next to you, man. Tap on wood if you hear me. Well, that changed yesterday. The tone has changed.
Yes.
They're in regular season mode. Here was GM Mike Mayock.
You all know that AB is not here today, right? So here's the bottom line. He's upset about the helmet issue. We have supported that. We appreciate that. Okay, but at this point, we've pretty much exhausted all avenues of relief. So from our perspective, it's time for him to be all in or all out. Okay, so we're hoping he's back soon. We got 89 guys busting their tails. We are really excited about where this franchise is going, and we hope AB is going to be a big part of it starting week one against Denver. End of story. No question.
I love this so much. You have aided and abetted him until now. And that's okay, to be honest with you. I'm not going to kill you for it.
You got to get tough.
It's mini camp. It's training camp. It's practice 10. It's practice 11. You're game planning this week for the first time for a game, because that's what you do in preseason week 3.
Mm-hmm.
This is now the time where, as John Gruden told Brent Musburger, we only know this because thank God the Raiders are on Hard Knocks, and 10 p.m. tomorrow cannot come soon enough.
Can't wait.
He said, I believe in time spent value added, man. You got to be here, brother. You got to work at this thing, man. He's not doing those things. Good for Mike Mayock as a straight shooter. Hit his target on the bullseye. We've exhausted all avenues of relief, he said. There are 89 guys here busting their butts. We like the direction. We need to know if you're all in or all out. This was their shot across the bow. They have finally done it. I've been waiting. And now they've basically said, listen here.
This is why we're here.
Crazy person.
This is why we're here.
Listen here, person who's making it all about yourself And by the way, there should be a gathering of people today who said the Steelers were the problem and Antonio Brown was the victim at some restaurant. They should all have to get together, and then there should just be a big thing where they have to sit there for 10 hours and someone has to paint with a roller brush, and they just have to watch that guy paint and watch it dry. That would be my favorite thing that happened today.
Here's the thing that's going to be so – they'll lie in wait, of course. But he could absolutely still show up in week one and go for 200 yards and two touchdowns.
He's going to.
He could still do that. He could also never play again. He could also, like, decide that he's going to be a farmer. I mean, like, I have no idea what he's going to do.
Amazing player.
Yes.
He will have a tremendous season. Understand, it won't change the irreparable damage he's already done to the 2019 Raiders. It won't. You cannot win with guys like this as your best player. When your best player is the guy on your team who causes the most problems, you have a losing culture. Your best player, this is why quarterbacks have to be model citizens, faces of franchises,
CEO
of the outfit. Your best players have to be your hardest workers, and I believe Antonio Brown is one of their hardest workers. I really do. But they have to be people who care about the well-being of winning. He doesn't have to care about the Raiders more than the Steelers, more than the Titans, if that's where he is next. But he has to be desperate to win football games. And he told anyone who was listening this offseason in his interview with Jeff Darlington, I think it was, I don't need football. If I walk away, I'm perfectly fine. I don't care that much. Okay, cool. That's a guy, when he says that, not worth $50 million. The Raiders decided he was. This exploding on them, as much as I like Mayock, as much as I love Gruden, and I really do, I love that dude. Good.
That's what you get.
The rest of us need to learn these lessons. 31 other teams have to understand you don't get into bed with guys like this and pay them all this money if they're not willing to walk the straight down. Joe Theismann, Redskins great, next right here on Greg.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.